is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Randy? Is it working?
Yes, Sam. I am so happy to be here tonight. Did you know, Lisa, that the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License?
Yes.
Yeah. And that it allows reuse by anybody except governments with a mailman exception thrown in there. But you can learn more about BIPCOT.org, at BIPCOT.org. So check that out when you get a chance. Hey, Lisa, before we get into what we were talking about, I just realized, I read this article yesterday, and it was really great because I don't care a whole lot about the way politics are going. Mm-hmm. And so that if you know, the Democrat or the Republican is in, and I don't get that excited. I mean, if Trump comes in and he does something that's good, like gets rid of some regulations, I mean, it's great. I'm happy. But I don't care that much and don't pay as much attention, I think, as some people maybe think that I should. Mm-hmm. And then I read this article yesterday that kind of just came over me like a bomb and made me understand why I didn't really care so much. And then I just find out 90 seconds ago from you that you wrote this brilliant article.
Thank you.
And would you say something about your main thesis in that? Because I thought it was great.
Yeah, thank you. The article is called "Devastated That Trump Is President, You May Have a Dangerous Reliance on the State."
And yeah, that was it.
From the heart.
That was it.
I wrote this from the heart because I have friends who are all over the political spectrum, and I've seen a lot of people really, really upset and frantic and devastated over the Trump presidency. And I'm obviously not a fan of Trump either, but I'm, like you said, I'm not falling apart over it. To me, it's just, well, you know, we still have a president, period. So, you know, business as usual. And also, I live right outside of D.C., so I keep hearing about the march last weekend and all the protests. And I thought, you know, these people, they're that upset about the things they think Trump's going to do and that he probably is going to do a lot of bad things, then maybe they're just too reliant on the state, and maybe the answer is to take more personal responsibility and do things to, you know, suffocate the state or do things outside of it, you know, to take care of your own life and your own family and friends so you don't worry about the government taking away free health care or whatever other rights you think they're taking from you.
Yeah, the idea, the thing that came through to me was, you know, when I was feeling, you know, kind of pressure, like I should be caring more when I get together with some friends and that, and this comes to me, and the idea that no, I'm right. The mm-hmm. idea that the government in any way should be this important in your life and you're dependent on them for everything is just sick and twisted and perverse. And you're just wrong about that. And you need to think about that who you are and how important you are and who's going to, you know, be running, you know, your life for you, and who you would even turn to if you did need help. If you're looking to the government, you really are looking in the wrong place.
Right.
And your article just zoomed right to that, and I thought, oh yeah, really.
I saw a need for it. You know, like I said, I do feel for the people who, and I don't blame a lot of these people. They've never really thought about, I mean, they've been raised like this, especially if they went to public school. They've been indoctrinated to think that the government takes care of you. It's what it does. It's what we pay taxes for. And, you know, I don't think they see the bigger picture, and they don't realize, like, hey, you know what? I don't need them. I can handle my life on my own. And there are some things we can't control, of course. I mean, they're going to make laws, they're going to do things to oppress us. The police state will probably keep growing. But I don't know. I think it's time for some civil disobedience, too. I'm going to do what I want, ultimately. I'm not hurting anybody.
Well, a little civil disobedience is usually good.
Yes.
The one thing that I thought was interesting, also, you saying, you know, seeing the marches and that in Washington, D.C. and other places, that I think I read an article or two about the rioters and rioting that went on during this same events, I guess. And I got the idea, I think it was wrong that it was the main marchers that were doing this stuff, but it wasn't them at all. Have you looked into that or not?
I've heard things about some of those people being paid to do that, to cause destruction. Of course, you hear about George Soros and his links to these protests. You know, supposedly there were ads on Craigslist, you know, paying pretty good money for people to go out and be destructive. I don't know how much of that is true, but I've heard stories about it.
Well, and that part, I've heard that too. But then there's also it looked to me like the people that were doing it were all dressed in black. They weren't protesters with signs and slogans. They were all dressed in black with masks. And I think they called them a black block. That's something I haven't looked into a lot. But it's kind of, it looks to me like an old style anarchists, which kind of like make us peaceful anarchists look bad, I think.
I know. I had to post about that on social media. I was like, look, this isn't what I'm about, okay? And some of my friends were like, hey, you know, what's wrong with it? There's a time, you know, it's Bank of America. It's fine if they smash their property. And I don't know. I think it's a lot more nuanced than that.
Yeah. It's fine if you're smashed. It's somebody else's property. I guess it was okay if you smashed Starbucks. I thought Starbucks, I mean, that's the thing that didn't work for me at first. I'm thinking all of these left wingers that are doing all this marching and yelling, they're not going to bust up a Starbucks.
Yeah.
And then I'm seeing that, I'm going, this doesn't fit. And then when I saw the black masks, the black outfits and all that, I'm thinking, no, these guys, they hate anything that's a corporate symbol at all. And so Starbucks may be a big friend of lefties, but not that kind of lefty. So I don't know. I probably will learn some more about it. I don't know a lot, but the whole thing just sounded kind of fishy and unclear to me when I was reading it. And as much as I, you know, didn't really agree with all the protests that were going on, I guess maybe my trouble is that it's kind of a new thing, and I'm kind of old, and usually, in the past, you haven't seen so much, you know, the losing side protesting after the election, you know, until the person they're protesting actually does something, you know, new that they're mad about.
I know, but this is like, you know, a preemptive thing.
Yeah, preemptive strike, gangbusters, you know, and I guess, you know, old fogey doesn't like anything new, so that may be part of my reaction. But still, you know, it's kind of weird, like, come on, take a break yourselves. I mean, it's been a long campaign, and you got your butts whipped, and, you know, crawl in a hole for a little while, and then when he does something you don't like, then, you know, get back out and do it again. So anyway, but that's, everybody's free to do that, and, you know, I'm afraid freedom of speech in this country, you know, you got to exercise it even when people that you don't even agree with are doing it. So let them go with that. I don't know what I don't know, Trump. I have no idea what I think, but I'm still kind of concerned. We'll see what happens.
I'm concerned, and I also, he's really confusing me. I really can't tell what direction he's taking when I think he's going to ziggy zags. I mean,
well, the news today,
appointments are like, what?
The news today is that, we're going to build the wall, and but turns out the Mexicans won't pay for it, so the taxpayers will have to pay for it. I'm thinking, well, the liar just admitted his first lie. And what comes next?
And we already knew. We knew that was going to happen.
Well, actually, I didn't know. And when I would argue with my friends about it, I'd say, look, he's claiming that the Mexicans will pay for it. But the truth is, if he's going to pay for it with the tariff, the American consumer will pay for it. I mean, we pay for everything. They steal the money from everybody who wants to buy something or whatever. And so, just trust me. You're going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it, no matter how it works out. I didn't realize I was going to be paying for it, through congressional appropriations, of just general funds. So, I don't know. Maybe that's better, because a 35% tariff would be even more damaging to the economy.
I read a really good article about it today.
You read it? All right, go ahead and tell me. No, you're just being humble. You probably wrote it, right? Huh? Okay.
No, I didn't write this one.
Oh, okay.
Justin King of the Fifth Column did, and I'm going to find the article so I can read it to you. It's so good. It's not very long, but he gets to the point. It's wonderful. It's about the wall and eight things that you need to know about it. And I need to find the article. Let's see where.
Are the eight things you need to know, are one of the things that, maybe it won't work or something?
Yeah, I think 2 points were about that. Here we go. I found it. It's called Eight Things You Need to Know About the Wall, and it's on the Fifth Column website. Justin heard it. He's a great writer. I thought one of two things was going to happen. I thought either the wall wasn't really going to happen and that Trump was just talking big to, appeal to his base. Then I thought, if it actually does happen, taxpayers are definitely going to pay for it. Mexico is not going to pay for this wall. And the wall, so here's what this article says. While exact specifications of the wall are unknown, what is known is that the cost of a single layer fence running the length of the border, along with accompanying roads and fencing at checkpoints, is going to be... $21 million just for that?
Million?
No, $21 billion. I'm sorry, $21 billion. That's not a wall.
Now, hold it. It can't be a fence. It's got to be a wall. When you say wall, I mean, what do you visualize in your mind? Okay, I'm thinking Great Wall of China, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that got to be it? And I don't like the idea of a wall, but... to do a crummy wall would be even more embarrassing.
Yes.
So, no win on that.
No, not at all.
So, hey, we're on our way to the market, but we'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah.
We are back.
I wish I could swear on radio. You know why? And the poor dots can't hear this now.
Well, you can swear, but you may not. You'd be in trouble.
I can. I'm not allowed. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I may not, but I can, but I'm not gonna. But I just have horrible things to say about iPhone listeners, and I know I'm alienating about 20% of our audience here, but oh my God, it's hard. They make it hard. So I made this really kick butt app called Pocket Alibi. And of course, the beautiful people who own iPhones, who are better than everybody else, said, but I have an iPhone. I can't run it.
You're triggering me.
That's what they said. They said I was triggering them. And I said...
Sounded like your voice, Michael.
To the complaint department.
Wait, someone was talking. Hang on.
Allow me to direct you to the complaint department.
That's what I say to the beautiful people with iPhones. And, they said, but... And I said,
cuck.
And then they said, but we don't want your app because we have the Beautiful People app and we think your app would make us say,
does this app make me look fat?
And I say, that's a bunch of...
This is fine-sounding bullshumer.
And then they said, yeah, well,
I value your input.
And then I said, anyway, so I'm trying to build this app.
That's great.
For iPhone. And I discovered that the, app building interface company that I go through, which I checked them all out. And this was the cheapest, best one for what I needed to do. I found out, the one I use for Android is $99 a year. And it's $25 for life to put things on the Android store. And they approve them in a few hours. And they approve updates in like 20 minutes, maybe in an hour. And they don't make you jump through hoops. They usually don't kick stuff back. They kicked back my last app because it had a link to the Freedom Fiends, which had a picture of a naked guy peeing on a cop car. I just had to change that picture, and then they let me do it.
Whereas, was that Android or
Android? Whereas that happened before with the iPhone app, and they were like, they wouldn't let me link that site even if I changed it. You know, they're like, oh, that site's tainted for all iPhone apps forever. So, and the iPhone store is $100 a year to update stuff. And the best make your own, app without really learning programming. And I'm sure the iPhone people are saying, well, you should learn programming for me, darling. And I say, wait, where's the app? Okay. And I say,
but what have you ever done for liberty?
And they say,
is this yak meat gluten-free?
Is this app gluten-free? But so I go to I'm like, okay, I'm going to break down and jump through the hoops to make this app Pocket Alibi for the beautiful people on iPhones who know they're better than everyone else. And I start making it, and I spent about an hour on it. I missed getting on the beginning of the show, and then I go to output a test of it so I could have some of the beautiful people test it for me before I go on. And then first of all, it says, it's auto playing everything. Like, this doesn't auto play everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I write their support, and I'm like, how do I get rid of this? And they're like, well, you can email this address, and then they'll give you a quote for how much it'll cost in customization to remove autoplay.
Oh, geez.
And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to output it as it is and see how people like it before I really make it and put it on the store and jump through the hoops to get it on the store, which are like getting a mortgage. So then I start to output it, and then I can't, and it goes to the upgrade your account. So I'm paying these people I think it's $399 a year to be able to and the Android app making thing I use, if I deleted my account with them, my Android apps would still work. I just never would be able to update them, and they work without being connected to the internet. The iPhone company, you have to be connected to the internet, and they turn off your iPhone apps if you stop paying them. So I may not keep paying them. There are 101 people now who have the iPhone app, and I'm just like, is that even worth it to renew that? I mean, it's good for another 8 months, but basically I found out I have to pay another $400 a year to make a second app for iPhone. So,
wow.
Sorry, people, it's cheaper for you to buy an Android phone than for me to make this app for iPhone. So there you are. You're not going to get it. You beautiful people.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When Ms. Pinelow ministries, it's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, then gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, then gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others
ones were big, but now we're small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others ones were big, but now we're small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others ones were big, but now we're small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all.
Get myself a buff dump truck. You know, buff.
Fuck yeah, I'll buff you, Randy.
Wow, I flipped the third wheel now.
Flipped the third wheel. You can film. Wait, I have one for that. Hang on a sec.
Free Friday night? Let's go warn people about the police checkpoint.
Oh, that's the wrong one.
Oh. I mean, it could be relevant, though.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
Yeah, that'll work.
For the folks in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? You like Ben Stone? Name five of his albums.
No, I guess that's a thing that people say, like, when some celebrity singer dies and everyone's like, oh, they were so great, I missed them. And people kind of try to make it about themselves. Steve complains about this a lot. And I guess, is that a thing people say? Oh, you like Prince? Name five of his albums. Is that, have you ever heard that? Is that
yeah, I've heard that. I've heard people say it.
Yeah, yeah. Bored Op, whisper in my ear sweet nothings and tell me whether I'm a good volume with everybody. But anyway, any hoodle, I can come up a little bit. All right. So, yeah, I'm coming up a little bit. How's that?
Am
I?
Oh, you are up. Yes.
Yeah.
It's good.
All right. Cool. So, you know, I was thinking about that, too. And I'm like, first of all, name five albums. My answer would be albums. Okay, Grandpa. Because people don't really, you know, have albums anymore. They buy singles, basically. They buy songs. But I was also thinking, like, with very few exceptions, the people I love the music of, like David Bowie, I adore his music. I could name 20 of his songs, but it took me, like, my wife and I were like, could we name five? She helped me. I named four, and then she named one. I couldn't name five of his albums. You know, I could.
You know, the single thing versus the album, yeah. Album thing. I was reading something the other day about the way things needed to be presented to people, and someone cited some study that said the average attention span of a person so many years ago was something like 8 minutes in that, and now it was down to 30 seconds. Yeah. It seemed crazy.
I mean, it's computers have done it, and it's got pros and cons. I mean, old people complain about it, like, oh, that's a horrible thing, but...
That's why nobody listens to an album anymore, maybe.
Right. Well, I was talking about this last night on the show. I was talking about, like, how people used to make albums that were, like, one hit and then nine fillers. Randy, back off. You're breathing. Stop breathing, Randy. Brandy. Okay, Brandy. Cash Newman, get out of here. Sorry. My cousin's bothering me.
He's going to get a beard.
You don't have a cat named that, too?
Nah, I should someday.
Yeah.
But, I was talking about T-Rex was a really good example, because T-Rex made, like, some of the greatest rock and roll tunes of all time. And on the same album, you know, there'd be like he had four hits per album, like three or four, like amazing songs, every album, bunches of them. And then, like, the rest of the songs, a lot of them were horrible. They weren't even just good. They weren't even like filler that were kind of like, you know, a lot of times it's filler that's like kind of clones of the hits, but not as good. But he made like completely different kinds of music that were like kind of herky derky, country, folky, not good. For the rest of the album. But now it's like, I don't know. I don't really know what people do with music anymore, but I assume that they, you know, work longer on one song and release it. Do people release sets of 10 songs now?
You're asking me. Yeah, well, I'm an expert on this subject, Michael. No, I have no idea.
As a teenage son, you know from that.
Yeah, they do. And plus, I do the same thing. Like, I really like Clutch. And, you know, they release whole albums. What?
Is that a punk rock band from, like, 50 years ago?
No. No, I'll send you a link to something after the show.
Well, tell me what they're great. I thought they were a punk rock band.
They're
on Sub Pop.
Bluesy, funky rock kind of
now you have unique. Now you have a band named Clutch. Clutch, when nobody even knows what a clutch is anymore.
What a clutch is.
They are great. I didn't know who they were until I saw them in concert.
No, they don't, mostly.
Well, you know what's funny, too, is tranny is sometimes, like, nickname for a transmission, isn't it?
Yes.
With mechanics, yeah, DJ?
Of course.
Yeah. Now you have to be careful.
Yeah, there's a really funny meme I've seen. It's like, it's photoshopped, but it's a transmission from a car, which is a large piece of, you know, equipment sitting on the floor of a public bathroom, and it said, "Oh my God, there's a tranny in this bathroom." Yeah.
No, I don't know how if many cars have clutches at all, but my kids, who are all grown, when they were learning to do a clutch, none of their friends even had clutches. So I don't know when the last generation is that actually had to learn to drive a
clutch
stick.
Is a purse now, isn't it?
Oh, it's always been a purse.
It is, that too. Yes.
Yeah, I think because you clutch it or something with your hand, you know.
Yes. Yeah, the best kind of clutch is the band. Trust me on this.
I don't know what that is. Great. Clutch so sounds like it would have been kind of a like gas, what I call gas pumper rock, which is like, you know, kind of rock and roll that's kind of dirty, but it's played by like, you know, dudes who, you know how like now the thing is dressing like lumberjacks?
Oh,
well, the
yeah.
thing used to be, you know, when you've never, like, done physical labor in your life, the thing used to be dressing like gas pumpers, you know, or like you know how,
I know
it's still
you're
kind of
about.
A thing, like wearing shirts with ovals with names that aren't yours on them, like you
Reverend
work in a
Horton,
machine
he does
shop.
That, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're kind of gas pumper rock, too.
They but, are, yeah.
You know. Yeah, that was Tony
Lumberjacks.
Bob's name for that kind of music. It was not Reverend Horton Heat are a certain type of gas pumper rock. I'm more talking about their look and their fans than
they
their music.
Like
they're kind of rockabilly, like weird fake gospel, right? But yeah.
Yeah, that's how
snake handling music, not gas pumping music.
Yep, lots of that there.
Yep.
At their
Please do give me more of your unsolicited advice.
That's what I say to youngsters who dress like mechanics who never worked a day in their life.
So or to anyone who responds to a Facebook post about your health or something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's really why I put that one in there. That was my idea. Yeah. Yeah. Randy's in here somewhere, so is Lisa.
You yeah, that fun was fun.
Oh, sure.
I do this ever.
What? Sorry.
That was Diana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy, you're breathing. Stop breathing.
I was trying to feel the dead air that you left.
It's okay, man. Dead air is allowed as long as it's under 6 seconds. And
6 seconds, yeah.
You know, on radio, they're used to it. And or on radio, maybe they should get used to it. You know how they say, like, you know someone's really your friend when they don't have to fill every space with conversation?
Yep.
Yes.
Maybe the Fiends should be like that. Maybe we should kind of pause and let people think. Because, you know, a lot of talk radio doesn't do that. A lot of talk radio just part of the mission statement of it is to, like, overstimulate your limbic system to where you're panicking about death so you'll buy whatever they have, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, pauses can be get people's attention, too.
And the board op would need to know, though. So if there was 20 seconds of silence, he would say, "No, you don't jump in with the Fiends because they and their listeners are lovers."
Yeah, that's true. But we can't do more than 6 seconds of silence because you know about the alarms, right?
Oh, the automatic alarms.
Yeah, there are for those listening. There are alarms at our network and at most networks and at most radio stations. If there's more than 6 seconds of dead air, alarms go off. Like, it doesn't go out on radio, but in the studio, you know, the board ops who are out in the back room taking a hit of crack, or face basting on their phone. Who's clicking? I hear someone's mouse clicking a lot.
Oh. Sorry.
Whoever's doing
it's
it, that's weird.
It's the buff dump thing.
Don't admit anything.
I'm
need
sorry.
To get your buff dump. It's,
I'm
I fixed
honest.
It on our end.
Oh, you can, okay. You can
put I your hands I never
on your lap.
Touch
Thank
my
you.
Buff dump. I leave that thing alone.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
try
never
this
gonna
at home.
Yeah.
That was me.
It's a teaching hospice. Yeah. It's okay.
That was you. And there's like an awkward pause in there, and I started to edit out, and I was like, no, it kind of sounds cool. Listen.
Don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home, but I liked it.
Try it somewhere else. Yeah.
Hey, Lisa, before you keep clicking your mouse constantly.
I'm not going to do it
anymore. Ask an adult before ordering.
Yeah. Yeah, if people don't know, we're using this app that I made, that the Fiends made and voiced, called Pocket Alibi, and it's free for Android phone, you know, for the people that are the good people that have Android phones, not the, like, despicable, you know, kitten touchers that have iPhones.
We're the little people as well. We are.
We're the peons. Right now.
Yeah. You know what? I was really surprised to find out Trump has an Android phone. You know, I guess it's because you can get him small and he has little hands. Tiny little, you know, yes. Monkey-like hands. But
little doll hands. Yeah.
Little doll hands. But
it's weird.
Yeah, I read this article today that Trump is still using an unsecured Android phone in the White House. Man, things are changing. I'm amused by it, and I'm not terribly horrified by it. I gotta say, you know, and if nothing else, I like waking up every morning knowing that every new news thing from Trump, liberals are crying. But he's actually doing some things that, like, Ron Paul would have done, which blows my mind. But, you know, I'm sure at some point when he starts, like, you know, when he brings home the troops and then puts them on every corner in every town to keep an eye on us, I'm going to be like, oh, my. That's
not Ron Paul wouldn't have done that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the same idea. I think it was Monday or Tuesday when they first started in, and they were naming some of the things he was doing, and I thought, holy cow, I thought exactly what you thought. I said Ron Paul would have done the very same things, and I thought, yeah. oh no, but you're right. I don't get the idea that I trust him. I mean, I just you can't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's stimulated the economy. The Dow hit 20,000 today for the first time ever, but it's because he's going to build a wall, and that's going to stimulate jobs that are basically going to come out of tax money and pay Wall Street.
You know, the Dow being at an all-time high, folks, this has got to be a good time to buy stocks.
Really?
Not a guarantee. Not a guarantee.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Yeah, you got to use the app. It only works.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah. Buy high.
Buy high, sell low.
Sell low.
Don't try this at home. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be a good time. You know, I mean, you could. I mean, how many people can say that they bought Dow at 20 and sold it at 10? Could happen.
Terrifying thought. Yep.
Not if you don't own the stock. Well, it's a little bit terrifying. It's really terrifying if you
do. I'm having 2008 flashbacks. So.
Yeah.
Sound like the Beatles.
That doesn't sound like the Beatles.
That sounded like the Cats or something. They've got the Bip Cat.
Angry Cats.
The Bip Cat, yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Who said that?
Jeff Sessions, the new Attorney General.
Yeah, the original Pocket Alibi. Only one person had it and only had one sound. You know, I thought about putting some of our sounds in Pocket Alibi, like the various alert sounds from a Fiend phone, but you know what? I decided not to intentionally after long thought because, you know, those sounds are there to let us know something's wrong. And when somebody else did them as a joke on here, it would kind of defeat the purpose.
That's right. You went to all the trouble to design a fingernails on a blackboard like sound, so that when one of the co-hosts would maybe inadvertently disconnect, do a bad connection.
It's not bad. It's just zany. It's not harmful.
I cringe every time I hear it.
Really?
But then I think, well, I'm supposed to notice it. It's not supposed to put me to sleep.
Yeah, that's true.
that's it.
Yeah. So let's see. You guys want to talk about these things, these articles in the Washington Post about some guy from NASA who spent 6 years or so suing the government so he could have his $23 mailbox?
Sure. That was nasty. The guy was from NASA, was that?
Yeah, he worked in NASA for NASA. You know, so he has all the money in the world to use stolen money, but that part doesn't really play that much in the article. It's kind of incidental. You know, I'm sure libertarians are like, he's from NASA, that's stolen money. And I'm sure Republicans are like, he's from NASA, he's a patriot. You know, I was really fascinated.
It's irrelevant to this article. You're right.
Yeah, I was really fascinated with the but to libertarians, nothing's irrelevant. It's kind of like that thing when Homer Simpson starts a body house, you know, with can-can dancers in his home, and he opens the door, the doorbell rings, and he opens it up, and it's like the preacher with the whole church congregation, and Homer says, oh, I hope this doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, and the preacher says, Homer, everything has something to do with Jesus, except this. You know, I mean, that thing of like, how many feminists does it take to change a light bulb? One, and that's not funny. You know, libertarians are kind of like that too. I think we should tell that joke about, and we're libertarians, but so many of them, like, I can't believe it. It's partly because it's really a good thing, because it means that there is a massive influx of young people who are newly minted libertarians coming into liberty, who when they see something that says, you know, state speech is hate speech, they don't get the joke, and they go, state speech, there's no such thing as state speech. You know, like they can't view anything from any lens except Murray Rothbard. And wasn't he a statist anyway? Wasn't he backing politicians?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, he would ally with some back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Like, and not necessarily politicians, but like there was a time back then where he kind of joined up with Pat Buchanan.
Yeah.
Who worked for Nixon.
He was a scriptwriter for Nixon.
Well, no, Pat Buchanan, he totally took a libertarian position on foreign policy and war.
He still does. I mean, yes. He was like one of the most hardcore Christian, like moral majority types there were about things like porn and homosexuality.
Well, he wasn't much into that stuff.
No, he hated it, but he was also like, and everyone thinks he was anti-liberty because of that, but he's opposed to, you know, being a foreign interventionist state and having
absolutely
military bases all over the world, basically because of the fiscal cost of it. And he's actually pro legalizing marijuana, and was way before a lot of mainstream Republicans were. And it's for the same reason. It's like, it's the cost of incarcerating people.
Well, his kind of non-libertarian views, the biggest ones have to do with pretty closed border ideas, and he also is kind of more in line with having controlled trade, fair trade rather than free trade. But hey, when he's right, he's right. I like him. I like him on the foreign policy stuff.
So here's the thing that's wrong with newly minted libertarians who are like, that's not funny. They don't understand that sometimes the useful idiots get things done, and like, you know, the politician appointing the FCC chief who's against net neutrality, like the guy Trump just appointed, that's more useful to me than some hardcore anarchist who just preaches at me, you know?
Agreed.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm not saying I like Trump yet, but he's kind of baffling me with some of the good things he's doing. But anyway.
He's confused.
So, yeah. I mean, really, you know, those people that say to me, like, oh, well, Rothbard said that, you know, I have to say to them,
oh, what have you ever done for liberty?
Yeah. Worms.
Worms.
Yes. And then you can say,
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes with 143 original sayings with great male and female voices. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun, too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi. A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
This is the Freedom Fiends, a symposium of unsupervised sounds that caress your freedom fiend bone. I'm Randy Englund and co-hosts. I have Lisa here with us. Michael W. Dean, I think, is here with us. And we've hacked into the government subspace mind control to beam our pirate signal of protest directly to your frontal lobe.
That's
so
the Chandler intro.
Wash the government off your hands and out of your brain. Quit making fun of me, Michael.
Wash.
And the Freedom Fiend is covered all over by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
May result in state beatings and or incarceration.
What idiot made that recording?
You.
That might be my favorite one.
May result in state beatings and or incarceration.
Braden sounds so cheery.
Who
was
that?
Was that Braden? I thought it was Nick.
Oh.
You know, I don't know.
Because he sounded 12.
Shane on here. I think I accidentally didn't put Shane on here. So, Shane, listen to these. And if you're not on here, you'll get on the net. Remind me when I'm doing the next one. Yeah. All right. But hey, he's in the credits, so he can put it on his IMDb page as on his resume.
As a contributor.
Yeah.
Oh, what the heck? Make him head programmer or something. Yeah, it's
misogynist conservative. Lisa, are you asking who's a misogynist conservative?
What's one that? Of my friends. That was so sarcastic. Yeah, one of my friends sent me a message. He's a Democrat, and he's still mad about the Trump thing. And he sent me a message and said, "You sure have a big following of misogynistic conservative men on your feed." I said, "I don't think any of them are, actually. I think you're confused, son." So then I just sarcastically asked, like, "How many of you are?"
You know what really, you know what's a liberty topic we could talk about today that really gets people's goat, really makes the left go, "See, libertarians, you're horrible." Mm.
Let's get some goats. Go ahead.
Let's get some goats. Line them up. Line up your goats. I got my goat squirt gun here. I'm going to annoy your goats. I'm going to poke your goats.
But you have to get them first.
Whatever floats your goat. Yeah. I've been butted by a goat. I've been butted by a goat and bit by a swan.
Wow.
Row your goat.
Row your goat. I like it. That's just absurd. It's beautiful. So I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, details don't matter, except it was in Pennsylvania, not Alabama. I'm burying the lead. Some restaurant owner kicked a black guy out and said, like, you know, "Trump's president now. I don't have to let you N-words in here anymore. And I own 3 restaurants, so I don't need your money. Get out of here." So here's what I say to that. Is that people should have the right to do that, because private property should be able to do whatever you want. And laws that legislate that you can't do that aren't going to change hearts and minds. And really, from a strategic standpoint, I would think that, you know, if all you did all day long was think about race and how, you know, races need to be equal and everyone needs to treat races equal, I would think even then you would want more so for it to be legal for someone to do that. Do you guys know why?
Yeah, I'd like to know who hates me. I'd rather not patronize their business.
Free market, right. I want to know who not to give my money to.
Now, here's a question. Do you think that if that were legal, do you think there's enough racists that businesses like that would still thrive? Probably depends how saturated the market is. But
yeah,
you know,
it depends on where
Probably not, though. But the one thing, they didn't say anything here about what could happen. But you know, it's been a long time since, what was it, about 1994, that Denny's Restaurants was supposedly violated the Civil Rights Act of 1964, I think, and ended up, I don't know if they lost or if they there was a settlement where they had to pay out millions, tens of millions, I don't remember how much, to be divided up among apparently anybody who came forward and could prove or could prove or claim that they had tried to eat there and were black. I don't know how the payouts all happened, but this guy, this is a federal law, and he's really sticking his neck out, is what I thought as I read it.
Are you saying he's a freedom fighter for calling people N-words?
Well, yeah.
Carefully, counselor.
I'm totally for free speech in that, but just because I am for it and don't agree with discrimination laws against private parties.
I don't think the guy knows that that's a law, and if he does, I believe he probably actually believes that Trump's going to protect him. You know, it's another, like, Trump did this, Trump did that thing, is there was Glenn Greenwald is guilty in this one. So, you know, at the inauguration, a bunch of the bad anarchists, not the good anarcho-capitalists like us, but the leftist communist capitalists, the black bloc type.
Yes.
Yeah, and black bloc is not a bad thing. It's a strategy, and anyone can use it. It's not unique to communists, is basically having the whole crowd dress all in black and usually cover your mouth. So
does it involve breaking windows?
Yeah. Well, when they're breaking, you know, I mean, it would be a useful strategy in a place where you're doing a peaceful protest and that's illegal. You know,
what would you need a mask for if you were doing a peaceful protest?
Helping you breathe when they throw tear gas at you, for one thing. I'm serious. I mean,
all right,
those like little paint masks that we sell that have the Bipcot logo and have the Bitcoin logo on them?
Yes.
I mean, the Bipcoin and Bipcot, we have both.
Those are paint masks. See, I was thinking they were operating room masks.
They are called operating room masks, but the company that sells our merch is called blackblock.com, and it's run by a capitalist, actually, who just realized he could make a lot of money selling black clothing and you know, V for Vendetta masks and surgical masks to lefties. So he sells them. Yeah, that's brilliant.
The capitalist brilliant. Haters, cool. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so he sells that stuff for us. He makes that stuff for us, too. But, you know, those, you know, also that guy that punched the Nazi, and I think it's hilarious, but I don't think you have a right to punch somebody just because, I mean, basically that's saying you should use violence against free speech, against unpopular
speech. Well, that's exactly what it is. But of course, his speech was offensive speech.
Well, I don't know. Richard Spencer hasn't called for violence. I think he wants a, like, separate.
He didn't call for it, but he got some.
Environment. I don't know. I don't know that much about the guy. Do you? For fact? I don't want to say anything unless you know for fact.
No, I never heard of the guy before I saw him get punched.
Yeah, I've heard bits and pieces, but...
Yeah. Well, again, I don't think it's right to punch somebody for being a Nazi if you're not a violent Nazi, which is actually a thing. But he's not technically a Nazi either. He's an alt-right guy, and he's a, you know, thinks whites have been marginalized, and to an extent they have been. Boy, people are tuning in going, like, checking off a list here. Okay, Michael's like said he likes some of what Trump's done. He's saying whites have been marginalized. He said it's okay to kick someone out of your restaurant and call them an N-word.
Yeah, no, you're going to be getting some invitations from the
alt-right
from the Stormers or whatever.
Oh, well, you know, Wyoming is a big state for that kind of stuff. I mean, not for the alt-right, but like for the old version of it, like the, you know, white militia types. But yeah, a lot of times, too, it's just white people in militias because, you know, who just, they can't find a black guy to join their militia, so... Because it's Wyoming.
Do you think that's right? Oh, well, in Wyoming, I guess that's true.
That guy that we interviewed that died recently, who I really liked, that the 3%er guy, what was his name? Mike Vandebau. We interviewed him on The Fiends once. He's one of the few people we've bothered to interview, who's one of my favorite constitutionalists, because he was like, you know, publishing essays about, like, you know, making the Democrat congressman's skulls into like soap dishes and stuff. I mean, he was not that I agree with that, but that guy's hardcore.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was personally decried by name by Bill Clinton. You know, that's boy, you know, I know two people like that. Like he's been decried by Bill Clinton. Yeah. And the printable gun guy has been
Cody Wilson.
Cody Wilson has been decried by name on the floors of Congress. So, you know,
I'm jealous.
I should be so lucky. But,
yeah.
But Mike Vandebau had a militia that was like a, you know, we're going to take over the government militia. I mean, it was hardcore and was like on the SPLC's watch list. But he had a black guy and a Mexican guy in his militia of like 50 people. And it wasn't token. It was like they're in Alabama. And that's, you know, it's hard to find a couple, you know, people that are constitutionalist gun carriers in Alabama who are black and Mexican. So, but he was adamantly anti-racist, which I liked.
You're not on the Southern Poverty Law Center's.
No, I used to want to be. List. I mean, I actually made a record that kind of pushed the limit to try to get on it, but I didn't get on it. But now I don't want to get on it because it's just absurdity. I mean, they're lumping in like Ron Paul with, you know, KKK members who like blow up churches.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's insanity. I personally, I consider them a hate group. At this point,
yeah, Southern, what is it? Soviet Policy Lie Center.
Yeah. Because they're willing to include just simple political opponents that have no racial element of any kind.
Yeah, it's you know, people from the 10th Amendment Center, a constitutional law group, is on their list. And here's the thing. They used to be an organization like 20 some years ago. SPLC was a good organization. All they did was kept lists of, you know, basically people who were doing violence, like racial violence. And you know, kept an eye on them and like sued people, you know, represented with lawyers, victims of that kind of violence. But they kind of stopped getting donations. And then they were like, okay, you know, it's dried up. What can we do to scare everybody and get more donations? And now they get, I don't know, 100,000, 100 million a year, 10 million, millions per year, double or triple digits, millions per year.
Well, they're going to have to work hard because with California talking secession, they can't tar anybody that talks secession as being racist anymore. I think it's hilarious, too, because everybody knows nobody in California is a racist. So, there you go. Yeah.
California secession can survive
is perfectly legitimate.
Not enough people work.
Dude,
and they all work in, like, you know, most people work in information technology stuff. They're like, you know, media. They don't produce enough raw goods. They produce some, though. It's a lot of lumber in this state.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now are small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now are small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now are small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all.
You're welcome, Lisa.
All right.
So we're going to talk about a couple things that are kind of related. Things where people have decided to... Well, in one case, they've decided to join a government. You know, you've got the UN, you've got your federal government, you've got your state government ruling you, probably got some county regulations, you definitely got your city council ruling your life. But for some people, that's just not enough. So they go out and get a, what's it called, Randy?
A homeowners association?
Homeowners association covenant. Yeah. Well, homeowners association is a voluntarily signed thing. You know, you buy a house usually, and it comes with one of those. And it's just like government in that basically they can and do change the rules as it goes. So you're signing. It's the literal social contract. Like the social contract they say is real that you agree to by being born. You didn't sign that, but this people actually sign. And I mean, they tell you like what color, you know, if you can have a basketball hoop, you can. So DJ, one of the reasons there's basically two reasons we left California. Three. One was we didn't like being around tons of leftist people. Two, we discovered guns and, you know, couldn't do much with guns. Couldn't carry them out of the house, you know, on you legally in California. And it's like a year in, you know, pound me in the butt prison if you get caught. So it's not something that we wanted to do just for, you know, see if we could get away with it. I mean, I've never been searched by the police on the street, but, you know, it was always the first time, so I didn't do it. And the other is we didn't like the place we were living because they had a homeowners association. Like, DJ bought this house, like, 25 years earlier. And, you know, like, when she bought it, there wasn't... The homeowners association wasn't very intrusive, and in 25 years they'd added so much regulation that our neighbors, you know, that we shared a driveway with, the gardeners came and ripped out their beautiful petunias and flowers because they hadn't gotten permission from the homeowners association to plant plants on their own land.
Unregistered flowers. Yeah. Scourge.
And, you know, unregistered flowers, and we're not talking about marijuana, we're talking about tulips and, you know,
but she agreed to all of it, though.
Yeah, well, you don't really think about it when you buy it, and you know they don't really. Hey, no, kitty, no, hang on, the cat master.
You mean you don't think about it when you buy it, when it's the first time you've bought into a homeowners association?
Right.
Think about it afterward. Like,
you know, a lot of people buy in thinking like, oh, this keeps the neighborhood nice. You know, there's like noise limits and you can't have loud outside parties. And, you know, there's some nice things about it if you like quiet. What we ended up doing kind of by accident was moving to a neighbor, like a street in Casper, Wyoming, that's not a through street, where we are the youngest people on the block and we're in our 50s.
Well, that's quiet there then.
That's,
okay.
That's quiet. Yep. Yeah. Although, you know, the problem is eventually my neighbors will die and their houses will go up for sale and like loud young people might buy their houses.
But, whippersnappers. You know, yes.
Whippersnappers. Yeah. I'll come over and like yell at them and say, you know,
thanks, Trump.
That's not really the right one. But yeah.
You were in a hurry.
But
I'm just doing my job.
Yeah. And I'll say,
come back with a warrant.
I keep getting Randy. Yeah. And they'll say,
am I being detained?
Hey, I learned a new word this week, was kettling. Do you know what kettling is?
In the context of brewing beer?
No, in the context of demonstrations. Because I was reading about some... Okay, what I was going to say, I'm doing eight topics here, but... so to go back to the demonstration thing, I'd never finished... good, I caught it. There was a thing in The Guardian where Glenn Greenwald, the one of the good leftists, one of the useful idiots, the guy who published all of the, which
Snowden.
One was it? Snowden leaks.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I thought about it later, like why Snowden did that, other than just dumping it on the internet. I think it was because that turns it into journalism in the eyes of a lot of people.
Oh, of course, yes.
You know, yes.
I mean, you know, WikiLeaks doesn't do that, and they're considered...
Otherwise,
like,
he was just a blogger.
This weird, creepy corner of the internet. That's, you know, people... Anyway, so I like them both, though. But Glenn Greenwald wrote this article about how Trump's America is already a police state because during the inauguration, you know, police were kettling protesters, which is basically an actual military technique where they corral you into like a small space and don't let you leave for hours.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Before we talk about the kettling, we are talking about the inauguration. So everyone's all the leftists are bragging that there were more people at Obama's inaugurations than at the Trump inauguration. But you know what? Republicans work. They can't take off 3 days and leave the state. Seriously.
Right. That really could be it.
I'm not sticking up for him, but, you know, I mean, there's problems with both parties, but it's a fact, man. Liberals tend to be unemployed or underemployed by choice, or, you know, sure, they blame it on things that they're born with. And, you know, because race doesn't exist. And if you admit race exists, you're a racist. But hey, I need special treatments because of my race.
Yeah, we could say that about gender, too. You know, these women who want all these special privileges. True. And that's people have been mad at me. You're a woman. How can you not be a feminist? And I'm like, because it's silly. I don't know. I'll give him credit for having a big crowd.
Reserve notes. Did you just assume my tender?
Yeah. All right. So
I've never felt slighted because I'm a female, but
the other thing that there was a song in my band Bomb. First line of it, the chorus of it was "The girl that I miss is just me in a dress." That's kind of my feeling about it. So
yeah, man.
So kettling. Read about kettling. They did some kettling. The feds did some kettling this week at the inauguration.
This is also known as containment or corralling. It's a police tactic for controlling large crowds during demonstrations or protests. It involves the formation of large cordons of police officers who then move to contain a crowd within a limited area. Protesters are left only one choice of exit controlled by the police or are completely prevented from leaving, with the effect of denying the protesters access to food, water, and toilet facilities for an arbitrary period determined by the police.
It's a timeout. A really creepy timeout. Randy asked if this had anything to do with... What did you ask about? How'd you say it, Randy?
Brewing beer? No, man.
All right. I didn't give you enough rope there to hang yourself.
That's all right.
You said, does it have anything to do with, you know, how they have had places where they put the journalists a mile away from the event and the protesters away from the event? And I said, no, that's a quote-unquote free speech zone, which is, it's related. I mean, the same people institute both of them, and both of them are, you know, like Russian communist era tactics, if they'd let you even speak at all. But the cordoning definitely is. The kettling, I mean, that's a military technique.
Didn't they arrest the people that got kettled at the inauguration?
Well, sometimes they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kettling is highly controversial because, first of all, the main problem with it is that it scoops up people who didn't do anything, who are just walking by or just watching. You know, and they end up getting detained for hours. But that happened, and there were a lot of arrests at the at this inauguration. And Glenn Greenwald made it sound like, look, Trump's America's, the police state's already beginning. And I'm like, No, that's the federal. I mean, that's the D.C. police. I really don't think Trump said arrest. You know, just that's right. What they do. They did that at Obama's thing, too. But they're, first of all, there weren't nearly as many people breaking windows and starting fires at Obama's inaugurations. And secondly, you know, it's more like Republicans screaming Tea Party slogans. And a lot of them were whisked away and, you know, kept away. And a few of them were arrested. But that just didn't make the papers either. You know, they talked about the horrible people who must be racists, you know, who didn't like Obama that were there. But they intentionally didn't talk about the fact that some of them were arrested and treated like crap, too. So that's just your government at work. That's the Constitution in action. And actually, Washington, D.C. is a constitution-free zone. It's a weird, isn't it legally in some ways, Randy, kind of a like, you know, the Constitution doesn't legally apply the way it does it because it says the 50 state, you know, the several states or something in the Constitution.
No, well, I, you know, I'm a criminal lawyer and I'm sure that the criminal law does apply there. It's federal law.
Yeah.
That applies there. Federal law is irrelevant to most people walking around. Most criminal laws, the federal criminal courts all around the country have just the tiniest fraction of people go through them compared to the state courts.
Well, also because people don't dare go to court with federal, too. I mean, there's less arrests for federal criminal law, but also, I mean, a lot of drug arrests are federal criminal law now.
Well, actually, the arrests aren't. It's the state people that do all the work and just hand it over to the feds.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, you know, a lot of what my wife's law firm does is, you know, defending people in federal court who've been arrested for, you know, usually if you have, like, a tiny bit more than personal use, they'll charge you for, you know, 8 felonies and threaten you with 50 years and then say, well, you know, you can plea bargain and serve 8 years starting right now, or, you know, you can take your chances on our 99% conviction rate and go to trial.
When you say plea bargain, you mean rat out somebody else.
Yeah, you have to do that to get out. Yeah, in federal especially. A lot of times in state, though, isn't it just you don't have to, you know, I mean, I'm sure they want you to proffer, but won't people sometimes get a deal if they have nothing to proffer, but they just don't want to deal with a trial?
Well, no, that's really not. A proffer usually is when you're playing the snitch, okay? You're telling what you know, and then they may offer you a deal. But that's totally different than state courts where you typically have plea bargaining where the prosecutor says, if your guy pleads guilty, we'll give him probation. If he goes to trial, he's going to prison for 5 years. You want the deal or not? And then you can decide. But in federal court, there's not much plea bargaining that goes on. I mean, there's some. I mean, I've done some, but it isn't done that much. Mostly it's take what you get or rat out your friends.
Yep. All right, so interesting stuff, but I'm getting off on 17 different facets here that I'm never going to tie up, and people are going to go, that was a great show, but it left me feeling unsatisfied. So, Glenn Greenwald was basically making it sound like it was Trump's America that was leading to the, you know, DC Park Police and the federal police to treat people like crap. No, you cannot protest really in DC and do anything other than like get a permit and stay on the path you're supposed to be on and get a little noisy and wave some signs without, you know, going to prison. And these people were, there were a lot of people, you know, breaking things, breaking windows and burning stuff. And the thing was, though, there were some people who got arrested that were journalists who are facing multiple years in prison, federal prison now, for basically having been there and filming. And, you know, not backing down. So
I read that.
That happens. Yeah, that happened under Obama, too. That happened under Bush a lot. All right. Moving along.
I'd hate to be the prosecutor that has to make the case against somebody that just got rounded up in a kettle.
Yeah.
Good luck to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of times they do this stuff as kind of a chilling effects. What's the acronym for chilling effects threats, Randy?
Chilling effect?
Slap. Slap. You know what slap stands for?
No.
Give it to me.
I'm going to look it up. But basically, you know, maybe they're not necessarily trying to put the people in prison, but trying to scare the hell out of the next time, you know?
Well, it'd scare the next guy even more if they put him in prison.
Yeah, but, you know, it's called strategic lawsuit against public participation. It's generally, it's often referred to things that are corporations, not governments, but governments also do them. You know, where like someone knows you're not violating their copyright and it's fair use by, you know, putting a picture of you taking the bribe or whatever. But then they, you know, they slap you with a huge, scary lawsuit and send 10 lawyers in to where like you can't even afford to like show up in court once and fight and, you know, appeal it or even get a date set or anything. And people just back down.
You know? Well, yeah, they can actually do you worse than they do in the criminal law, simply because in the criminal law, you're going to end up with some sort of defense. In that situation, if you're broke, you're dead, you know.
Right.
They got you.
You have to pay for your own lawyer. Yeah. So they slap you. It's kind of a slap.
They do.
Yep. Strategic lawsuit against public participation. You know, I mean.
That's Orwellian.
Yeah, I mean, the government anywhere doesn't really like to be photographed and scrutinized too closely. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Any hoodle. So I want to talk about these other kind of more amusing lawsuits that really aren't that amusing. But these people that are fighting against their homeowners association. Read a little bit of this thing from the guy in, where is it? Maryland. These are both in Maryland, where Lisa is.
Of course.
Go ahead, Randy. Or somebody. Read it.
The guy with the mailbox, is that who we're talking about?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll read some.
Thank you.
There's a picture of a guy who just looks like a regular Joe, and he's got his hand on a really nice mailbox with nice wooden outside. Looks real pretty. And it says, the $35 wooden mailbox Keith Strong brought in 2009 seemed charming and functional for the home he shared with his wife in a posh golf community in the suburbs of Washington. It was a newer version of the mailbox the Homeowners Association previously approved and had sat at the end of their driveway since they moved in. And to make a long story short, 2 months later, he received an order to get rid of the mailbox because they wanted him to spend $500 for a mailbox upgrade. And this was from the Homeowners Association. And that's the bottom line, right, Michael?
Yeah. Homeowners associations almost always want you to have everything about your property universal. Like, all of the houses in the area that were covered by the Homeowners Association where we lived in California were all the same color, and you could not paint your house. But it went beyond that to, like, you couldn't plant a garden that wasn't approved. And what really kind of drove us to leave was someone tried to break into our house. I was there. I was really sick with a flu. My wife was at the store getting medicine for me and getting NyQuil for me. And someone tried to break in, and I actually, like, I didn't have a gun. This was before I had guns. We had guns. I had a taser, though, and I went out with a taser, a flashlight, and a wireless phone. Like saw the guy trying to break into my house with a stick. And we tried to get the Homeowners Association to let us buy a motion sensor light, and put it out there. And it took 9 months of legal threats before they'd allow it. And by then, we were moving to Wyoming.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yep. Yep.
You know. And the mailbox they wanted him to put in was butt ugly.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government.
Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Fiends.
We're talking about stuff. We're talking about so what's the bottom line? What was the result of this lawsuit of this guy suing and paying tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars over years to try to get to have his $30 mailbox instead of the $500 mailbox?
Yeah, well, you know, the Homeowners Association, that was, it's a contractual matter, and this thing eventually ended up in a court. And the court decided in favor of the homeowner, apparently saying that the Homeowners Association didn't have the right under the contract to make this demand. And so he won. Good guy wins. He doesn't have to get the $500 butt ugly mailbox.
Isn't there something about contracts that... is there any thing about contracts needing to be set in stone? Like, you know, is a contract really a contract if it says we can change the terms of the contract later?
Well, that may have come into to the guy's decision in that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to be careful. At some point, a contract becomes unconscionable and they throw it out.
That's it, yeah.
Because the person who signed it must have been, you know,
drunk.
Barely breathing or drunk crazy. Or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if it's like, you know, I'll do 5 minutes of work for you and you'll owe me $1 million. If it's you know, that kind of discrepancy in, what's the term? There's a term for, like, you have to be able to get something for something. There's a name for that.
Quid pro quo, is that it?
Though. I mean, I don't expect you to know all these terms.
Yeah, it's been a long time since law school.
All right, so
30
real
years.
Quickly, moving on.
Well, there's the other example that we were talking about was the fellow who wanted to put up this nice looking arbor in his yard and hang some swings from it.
And I want to talk about this town a little bit. I have experience with this town. I lived there for a month. It's Chevy Chase, Maryland, and it's the richest place I've ever lived, and I've, you know, stayed with people in some really nice places. But I went from there to homeless and living in a factory in the same week. I lived there for a month when I was 19. I stayed with my friend in his dad's mansion, in their mansion, literal mansion. I mean, this was like a 28-room house or something. Beautiful, beautiful house. And, you know, had, like, stayed there until his dad came home from summering somewhere and was like, let me stay 3 more days, and he kicked me out. But it's an amazing place. I mean, it's the kind of place where, like, you might really think people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth, because, you know, everyone from there is somebody or does something. Like, this kid's family, like, you know, my friend is now a Wall Street attorney. His sister wrote Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, you know, best-selling book series. His other brother is an editor at Rolling Stone magazine. I mean, it's that kind of town.
These are, like, beautiful people. Yes,
it's beautiful people. There you go. Yeah, iPhones. It's probably illegal to have an Android phone there.
Probably so.
Yeah. So read a little about what happened there.
Well, they didn't like his swing set arbor and decided that it was against their rules. And unlike the fellow with the mailbox, this fight is still going on, and he's thinking about suing him. They want him to take this thing down. And, of course, this is
a case because, you know, like, you don't sign a contract to live in a town.
That's why he doesn't have any case. Whatever they say, they can change their rules all the time. And of course they did. And with this, the village of Chevy Chase, they call it, apparently they already have a reputation for, you know, going to the mat. They'll spend, you know, $500,000 to make a $2 point. Wow. And I don't know if I'd want, you know, if this guy, if he's got plenty of money to burn, then he should go ahead and fight him. But who knows how it'll come out.
Yeah. You know, also, I mean, this picture, from what I can tell, it doesn't say if it's front yard or backyard, but it looks like it's in his backyard to me. It looks like it's not visible much from the street, which makes this even more egregious of a lawsuit.
Yeah, it does look like it. If it's in the front, it's certainly kind of hidden from the street. Yeah. You wouldn't see it very well.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. It looked nice. I'd be happy to have that anywhere around me.
Yeah.
Jerks.
Yeah.
That's that
jerks.
Area.
Everybody raise their They're hand so if they love your city government.
They're so square. They worry me more than the federal government. Really.
They can be just as arbitrary and mean.
They could ruin my life quicker, you know? They could triple my tax, you know? Quicker.
And they're right there in your town.
Yeah.
You might have to run, Michael.
No.
City council.
Thought about it. I
could run. Yes, Mayor Dean.
I've lived here longer than half the people on it.
Worm. Yeah.
Worm.